I'll be reading Judges 13, verses 2 through 13 tonight. This is a text that my Bible assigns the title, The Birth of Samson. His story continues through chapter 16. This is quite a colorful guy. He is the only one of Israel's judges with a recorded birth story. So must have been pretty remarkable. This boy was consecrated at birth, unlike some of the other judges that simply, like Ehud, that we learned about some months back, that simply just heard the call and he just came and showed up. No, this boy was from birth to be a judge. And he was obligated to live according to a particular, peculiar set of vows. None of the other judges that we read about were given such a set of restrictions. So this boy was going to be set apart from all the previous judges. But he was going to do something that the rest of the judges did not do. He was not given the commission to do anything about the current threat, the Philistines. He was not supposed to deliver Israel from these guys. His job instead was to prepare the way for the incoming monarchy, Saul and David. We're going to be the liberators of Israel, not Samson. So God's plan to rescue his people from this 40-year reign of the Philistines, that was going to come from a succession of people accomplishing his desired purpose. But that succession was not going to begin with Samson. Interestingly enough, it's going to begin with his mommy. And there was a certain man of Zorah, this is Judges 13, verse 2, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and did not bear. And the angel of Jehovah appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold now, you are barren and do not bear, but you shall conceive and bear a son. And now, please take heed and do not drink wine nor strong drink, and do not eat any unclean thing. For lo, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his face was like the face of an angel of God, very terrifying. But I did not ask him where he came from, neither did he tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' And Manoah prayed to Jehovah and said, 'Oh, my Lord, let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we shall do to the boy that shall be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman hurried and ran and told her husband and said to him, "Behold, the man has appeared to me, the one who came to me the other day." And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to the woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and what shall we do to him?" And the angel of Jehovah said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful." I love this story, because what we have is a true heroine for God, despite what anybody else thinks, believes, says. Samson's mom, I think, embodies all the qualities that God desires for a mother. The first thing that I think I see here is that her relationship with God was so close that she recognized him when he appeared. Go back to verse 6. Judges 13, verse 6. "A man of God came to me, and his face was like the face of an angel of God." This angel that is listed here is also listed later on in the chapter, because he reveals himself to Manoah in verses 17 and 18, and his response is very telling. "And Manoah said to the angel of Jehovah, 'What is your name, so that when your sayings come to pass, we may do you honor?' And the angel of Jehovah said to him, 'Why do you ask after my name in this way? Yea, it is wonderful.'" Does this response at all sound familiar to you? It should, because it's the same answer that Jacob received in Genesis 32:29. This is right after Jacob had his famous wrestling match. And Jacob asked and said, "I pray you, reveal your name." And he said, "Why do you ask after my name?" Jacob discovers who this is because in verse 30, "And Jacob called the place, the name of the place, Face of God." I have seen God face to face. It's the same response. So, is this just your ordinary angel, or do we have God incarnate appearing to Mrs. Manoah? Now, what I find so striking about her response when he shows up. Remember when the angel came to Abraham and Sarah and said that she was going to conceive, and she thought that was the most ridiculous thing she had ever heard, and she laughed? Mrs. Manoah is not laughing. And it's the same sort of situation. Remember when the angel appeared to Gideon and said, "Hail, mighty man of valor." And what's Gideon doing? He's looking around to see who the angel's talking to behind him. He's panicking. Mrs. Manoah is not. She's as calm as can be. She's also not a skeptic like her husband. If you go back to verses 8 and 9 of Judges 13, here's Manoah. He's praying, and he's summoning the messenger that came to his wife. "Oh, my Lord, let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we shall do to the boy that shall be born." See, Manoah missed him the first time. So now he's going to give it a shot and pray that if I call to this angel, I'm going to assume he's the real thing, that she wasn't just eating some bad mandrakes, and that if I call out to him, he'll show up because I'm the man. But what I love is instead the angel shows back up solely again to her. And I think it's because her relationship with God was so close that this appearance did not freak her out, did not cause her grief. She welcomed it. He's the one that's not sure. She's the one that's been talking to Jehovah probably her whole life. The second thing I notice here is that she's the one that consecrates her life. Why? I think it's because she wanted to model it for her son. Now, Samson's mom, she voluntarily and immediately resets her lifestyle for the rest of her life to follow the regulations stipulated by God for her up-and-coming son. And I think it's because faithful obedience to God was just part of her framework. It wasn't that big of a sacrifice to her. Just like moms with newborns, they just do. 'Cause the newborn can't do it for his or herself. Her pledge, I think, served as an affirmation to honor God throughout Samson's childhood. In fact, if you go to verse 25, which is the last verse in chapter 13, it says that the Spirit of Jehovah began to move Samson at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The Spirit of Jehovah. We already have the Holy Spirit prodding and leading Samson. And he's not Samson the judge yet. So, how was Samson so teachable? I think it's because his mom was the one that laid the foundation. I also see a woman here that is going to trust God, no questions. Who's the one that's got all the questions? Her husband. Go back to verses 9 through 13. Notice what Manoah is constantly doing. Are you the one who talked to my wife? Which I think is funny, because after he actually meets the angel, he's still asking, even after Manoah's wife had introduced them. He still has to make sure for himself. And he just keeps asking questions. Well, what's going to happen to this kid? And what kind of rules does he have? And what kind of work is he going to do? Just goes on and on and on. And I love the divine response. Why don't you ask your wife? She already knows all of this. She's the one that took notes. I don't have to tell her twice. She listened the first time. Ask her. Nowhere does it say that he took Manoah aside and gave him the same set of instructions. Didn't have to. She got it. She told her husband everything she learned from those messages right after she received them. She's the one that went running to him and said, guess who showed up and what he had to say? So every question that Manoah is asking is not demonstrating that he's hearing impaired. It's demonstrating his suspicion and doubt. And the reason why we know that he heard his wife clearly the first time around is because in verse 8, he's asking the messenger to come back. He doesn't trust the message. But I think one of the best parts of this is how she shows off her level-headedness. Another important quality in a mom. You see, Manoah, he finally figures out who this messenger really is after he ascends in the flame of the altar. And Manoah freaks, we're gonna die! And I love her response. Manoah, if the Lord was gonna kill us, he wouldn't have accepted the offering that we gave him. If he was gonna kill us, he wouldn't have revealed a plan for our son that we don't have yet. If he was gonna kill us, he wouldn't have bothered showing up to tell us we're gonna have a son. Right? What does he say in response? There isn't one. Why? Well, what could he say at that point? So this is a woman that demonstrates self-control. She demonstrates a peace that only God can give. She demonstrates discernment. She knows that parenting is a covenant relationship between herself and God. She's ready. Now, what does that mean for us? How close is your relationship with God? If he were to physically appear before you, are you going to recognize him? Or are you going to laugh, freak out, or put on your boxing gloves? Are you willing to turn your lifestyle, your very life, over to his purpose, no matter what it is? No matter how much you would have to change. No matter how unwilling you are to do it. Would you be willing to trust him without asking any questions? And how level-headed would you be when he gives you his final words? Father, we thank you. We praise you. We adore you. And we find it amazing that this unnamed woman would turn her life, her purpose, completely over to you without asking a single question, without a single hesitation, keeping all self-control with a peace that only you can deliver. Father, that is a message to all parents, and it is a message to us as your children, for you are our Heavenly Father. And you call us. And maybe you call us to something that sounds ridiculous. We pray that we would take whatever it is, wherever it is, whenever it is, to do whatever you want. And just say, here I am, send me, I'm going. We pray for that cleansing in our hearts and spirits to remove any obstacles that would turn away that message and that commission. Help us, O Lord. Strengthen us, teach us, and edify us. In your Son's name we ask this. Amen.